Welcome to Ringside Rewind with me, Tris Dixon, and the men who have seen it all, Ian Dark and John Rawling. We will be joining you every Monday from August 15th, so make sure you tune in and listen to Ringside Rewind.
He looked at it and he said, "What the fuck?" Thank you for entering the description of the fight.
I still can't get over the fish swimming in the green sort of goo, but that's gross.
Absolutely that, gross.
Yeah. The waiters hopefully never got over it, I can tell you that.
I'm guessing they didn't have repeat business there, John.
I've never been back. I'm sure they've got different chefs, different waiters, but I've never set foot in that restaurant again.
He was surly. You're right. It was annoying how late he was for press conferences. It was like he didn't have any respect for what our job was, because, you know, the guys were working to deadlines. We all had other things we had to do that day. He wasn't the only interview in town.
He knew that it could just as easily have been him who was in trouble as Gerald McClellan. In fact, the pair of them were both badly affected by that fight. It was not just McClellan. Ben also was close to losing his license as a result of that fight. So he was allowed to box on, but it was touch and go whether or not he was going to be allowed to box after that because of the damage that McClellan had inflicted on him. But Nigel's had to live with that for the rest of his life. And as you rightly say, if you talk to Nigel Benn about that night against Gerald McClellan, despite all the bad feeling and the bad blood in the run-up to it, he is still hugely, profoundly affected by what happened there and will be for the rest of his life.
Sometimes, I think, particularly if it's a dull fight where every round's the same, you do need to lighten it up a little bit. So he was in this pretty dull fight. I can't remember against who one night. So Glenn and I started going into all these Elvis references, you know, these terrible double entendres. And I said, "Yeah, I think it's probably now or never for Darren now." You know, and so he said, and Glenn would come and go, you could never question his heart. He hasn't got a wooden heart. John Rawling's in the background doing his usual trick of trying to put us off while we're live. Another time, a bloke ran up while we were talking about Lennox Lewis from nowhere in front of the camera while we were live and said, and shouts out, "Lennox is going to fucking murder him," and ran off. And I could have had to kind of look around and go, "Well, as you can see, everybody's got their own views of the fight here."
Get in there, Frank. Yeah, I mean, Harry afterwards was always mortified about that. He thought he was massively unprofessional by saying that. But, you know, people still remember Harry Carpenter for that one, don't they? And the moment when the emotions really came out, because Frank was immensely popular with the British public at that time. People perhaps who weren't there would find it difficult to equate. But in 1989, he was just hugely popular.
"Everybody knows I'm going to be shocking the world when I get out here. Everybody's going to be talking about Bruce Seldon. You know, as of, you know, once this fight's over, my name is going to be a global superstar. Everybody knows that." And somebody in the audience shouted out, "You ain't going to do shit." Seldon looks back and goes, "Hey, don't be like that. They told me to say this stuff."
They very quickly, Barry and Chris, bought into the old showman ethos. You know, it doesn't matter what the news is. It doesn't matter whether you like me or you hate me. Just remember me.
Darkie, he goes, "Rawling, do you want to share the joke with us? What's so funny?" And we're going, "No, it's okay. It's
okay." Oh, that's terrific.
I mean, John's right. We did have a lot of fun.
We will be joining you every Monday from August 15th, so make sure you tune in and listen to Ringside Rewind.